Монголын дуу хоолой радио ярьж байна.
The Voice of Mongolia in English is speaking. Сайн байна уу? Welcome to the Voice of Mongolia in English, which comes to you from Ulaanbaatar, the capital city of Mongolia. This half-hour transmission can be heard in Southeast Asia at 900 UTC on 12085 kHz and in Europe at 1430 UTC at 12015 kHz shortwave. You can also visit our website at www.vom.mn/en and listen to an online version of our daily broadcast.
Welcome to a new edition of the Voice of Mongolia in English. In this edition, we are going to present daily news first, and after the Mongolian folklore breaks, we'll be back with a special series of talks introducing the Mongolian heritage inscribed on the UNESCO list. So stay with us. Here is the news. Mongolia-UK Roundtable Meeting was held. The 14th Mongolia-UK Roundtable Meeting took place on May 12 in Ulaanbaatar City. The delegation of Mongolia was headed by Ministry of Education and Science, while the delegation of the United Kingdom was headed by Ministry of State for Asia and the Middle East at the Foreign Commonwealth and Development Office Amanda Milling. Ministers recalled that Mongolia and the UK established diplomatic relations in 1963. They also welcomed the continued progress in the Mongolia-UK bilateral relationship, reaffirmed their commitment to broadening this further, and also set out their desire to negotiate a partnership and cooperation agreement to coincide with the 60th anniversary of diplomatic relations in 2023. Ministers welcomed the inclusion of Mongolia and the UK's enhanced framework trade preference arrangements from January 1st past year and expressed their intention to engage actively to facilitate bilateral trade and economic cooperation. They also welcomed the recent first visit of the UK Prime Minister's trade envoy to Mongolia, Denel, and the recent agreement between Rio Tinto and the Mongolian government on the commencement of the underground phase of the Oyu-Tolgoi project. It was also noted the importance of an attractive business and investment environment in Mongolia, and welcomed ongoing work on investment protection, legal reform, and combating corruption. Ministers welcomed the long-standing relationship between the London Stock Exchange and the Mongolian Stock Exchange and looked forward to furthering collaboration between respective financial institutions. Ministry of Environment and Tourism meets ANA Holdings President. Minister of Environment and Tourism Bahadur Dene is paying an official visit to Japan on May 16 to 20. As part of his visit, the minister held a meeting with President and CEO of ANA Holdings, Mr. Koji Shibata. Due to the global outbreak of the pandemic, the flow and frequency of Japanese civil aviation flights have been reduced by about 20%, and some flights have been temporarily suspended. Mr. Koji Shibata expressed the confidence that the pandemic will subside and the overall situation will improve in the near future. The sites exchanged views on the civilization situation, tourist flow, weather, and geographical features of the two countries. Minister Bahtirdin also expressed his willingness to intensify cooperation in civilization and further advance a traditionally friendly relations between the two countries. Minister Bahtirdin also noted that the special attention is being paid by the government of Mongolia to developing the free air transport market and increasing the flow of tourists. At the end of the meeting, Mr. Koji Shibata expressed interest to cooperate in launching direct flights of ANA holdings to Mongolia and expand cooperation in this sector. More trees to be planted in capital city. This year's tree planting campaign is kicking off in Ulaanbaatar city from this month. From May 6 to May 20, over 288,100 trees, bushes and shrubs are planned to be planted throughout 9 districts of the capital city Ulaanbaatar. In the framework of the campaign, 1,000 elm trees have begun to be planted near the source of Silk River by the Environmental Department of the capital city, the Ecological Police Unit and One Life Auto Motor Club. At a ceremony that took place for the spring tree planting campaign, local government staff also planted trees at designated locations and watered the trees that they previously planted. In the capital city's Bainzurg district, 162,000 trees, bushes and shrubs are planned to be planted until May 29. As the trees are dependent on the care that is provided to support its growth, a specialized department for ecological development and services has been set up at the district to pay special attention to the tree's growth and ensure its protection, noted the deputy governor of Bainzurg district. Water sector leadership program kicks off. Every Success is Different NGO started to launch the Water Sector Leadership Program in a cooperation with the Mongolian branch of the International Water Resources Association. The program has started selecting young people who are willing to work together to improve their knowledge of the challenges facing the world and Mongolia's water sector and to find solutions together. The program will run until September this year, and by the end of the program, more than 20 professional scholars will evaluate the team's assignment and the effectiveness of their solutions. The most important outcome of the program is to expect it to be the establishment of a platform for participants and young professionals to stay in touch, discuss issues and share experiences, as well as the curation of a network of active youth. During the launch of the program, Country Director for External Relations of the Climate Green Foundation emphasized that one of the most pressing issues discussed at the World Economic Forum in recent years has been water security and the environment, and thanked the NGO for initiating the program. During the program, the participants will learn from industry experts, gain a holistic view of the sector's problems, and learn about the projects and programs in the water sector. This will allow them to gain knowledge and experience from all sides and based on that, to identify solutions to the problems facing the water sector. Every Success is Different, NGO noted. So that's all for today's daily news, and after the Mongolian folklore breaks, we'll be back with a special series of talks introducing the Mongolian heritage inscribed on the UNESCO list. Have you ever heard about Mongolian fairy tales and legends? This is Mongolian Folklore Breaks.
The folklore of any people is a part of its history. It is also a treasury of the language of the people.
Mongolian tales and legends reflect the life and aspirations of the people.
In theme, the Mongolian tales are very diversified.
So please enjoy the moment.
The Two Good Horses. Once upon a time, two horses which had been sold to a distant place began to pine for their native land and decided to run away and return home. However, during their journey, one of them became so enfeebled by age that he began to lag behind and was unable to continue. So he spoke to the younger horse as follows. "Well, my younger brother, I wish you a good journey. It is almost time for your old brother to die. Don't travel on any path that is not a properly established road. Don't approach anything quite distinct and don't unfasten anything that is wrapped up." With these words, he could go no further. Nevertheless, the young horse chose an isolated road and, catching sight of an indistinct brown object, he hurried towards it impetuously and found that it was a sack that had been tied up and something alive seemed to be moving within it. Being very curious to see the interesting thing inside the bag, he unfastened it and out came a large hungry wolf. "I wonder what kind of horse has opened my bag. When I was catching and eating the cattle of a well-to-do family, the owner chased me on a fast horse, rather like yourself, and when he had caught me, he tied me up in this bag. But now I will eat you." As the wolf prepared to seize the horse, a rabbit who was passing by saw this and said, "You two there, what sort of a horse and wolf are you?" They told him just what had happened and the rabbit, intending to save the life of the horse, said, "No, Mr. Wolf, you are such a fine big fellow that the tale about your being tied up in this bag simply must be a lie." On the other hand, if it's really true, I shall, as a reward, give you myself to eat in addition to the horse." The wolf said, "It's true. I was inside this sack. Respectfully, sir, I cannot believe it until I see it with my own eyes," replied the rabbit. The wolf, thinking to eat both horse and rabbit, jumped into the sack again. But as his head was still not covered up, the rabbit said, "Ah, your head is not small enough." Whereupon the wolf immediately hid his head and the rabbit quickly tied up the opening as before. In this way, despite his tiny stature, the resourcefulness of the rabbit saved the life of the horse, who reached his native land in safety and lived happily ever after.
Please welcome back. This is Voice of Mongolia in English. We've started a special series of talks introducing the Mongolian heritage inscribed on the UNESCO list. Today we'll talk about Mongolia's national art of singing, the Homi throat singing. Stay tuned. Mongolian Homi throat singing is a unique art of singing that produces a harmonic sound without any musical instruments. The Homi throat singing is originated among the nomads of the Central Asian Plateau, particularly the Altai and Sayin mountain regions of southwestern Mongolia. The Homi throat singing is a type of singing in which the singer manipulates the resonance that is created as air travels from the lungs, as past the vocal folds and out the lips to produce a melody. Mongolian Homi throat singing involves producing two simultaneous tones with the human voice. It is a difficult skill that requiring special ways of breathing. One tone comes out as a whistle-like sound, the result of locked breath in the chest being forced out through the throat in a specific way, while the lower tone sounds as a bass. The partials of a sound wave made by the human voice can be selectively amplified by changing the shape of the resonant cavities of the mouth, larynx and pharynx. That resonant tuning allows the singer to create apparently more than one pitch at the same time, while actually generating only a single fundamental frequency with the singer's vocal folds. The singers may perform alone or in groups. The Homi throat singing is considered musical art, not exactly singing, but using one's throat as an instrument. Depending on the way air is exhaled from the lungs, there are four ways of classifying Homi, including Harkhra Homi, which is similar to bass sound or strong tone out of a chest. A sound produced from an oral cavity is called Skre Homi. Narme Homi, which is a sound made from a nose, and Shakha Homi, which is a sound produced by squeezing a voice. The Homi throat singing is practiced among Mongol origin people in several countries, especially in Mongolia, Inner Mongolian Autonomous Region of China, and the Tuva Republic of Russia. In recent years, the Homi throat singing has been rapidly globalizing throughout the world. Michael Armstrong is Europe's foremost Mongolian Homi throat singer. He is a multi-instrumentalist specializing in Mongolian Homi throat singing, and he has traveled to Mongolia many times. Michael Ormiston has principally studied with a master teacher from Harvard Western Province of Mongolia. He has been doing this for the past 15 years.
I first heard overtone singing in August 1988. And living in London, I'm very lucky. I can see loads of different types of music and stuff. And so I saw an advert, Mongolian music and dance. So I'll check this out. And so I went to this concert, and there was lots of traditional Mongolian stuff, which I knew nothing about. And then this guy came up and sang some Humi singing or overtone singing. And it went, ooh. So it hit me sort of here in the chest, like woke me up. And then what's going on there in my mind? I got into this type of singing, and it made me read and investigate more about the culture. And so I'd buy books on Mongolia. I would try and see Mongolian concerts. There weren't many in Britain, but because my sister lived in Paris, I managed to go to a few. And I was too scared to go in 1988, 1999. I was working in computing. I was a computer operator and then database analyst, and really going in the spiral downwards. It is for somebody, but it wasn't for me, because the thing that was for me was to make sound. She first saw me when I was performing in London, must have been 1998, from what she told me. And she came up to me afterwards and was interested in lessons, and so I didn't know her. So, and then I got eventually 6 months later, she had a lesson in Humi singing. She's got developed and developed over the years. Particularly now, she's got the low style of singing, which is really rare for a woman to do. And that took her a little while to get into it. She really wanted to do it. That's the key to anything. She really had an intention, I'm going to do it. And it can be frustrating when it doesn't always work at first, but she persevered. And now she's got a lovely purr of a kargidar, an undertone singing. We don't know. It's absolutely impossible to know. Maybe the low style, that. Some people said it's been a sound to call yaks in. Maybe, again, that Serendipitous, Gerzal's uncle or father, I can't remember exactly. But then some people use it now in the form of animistic stroke, shamanistic ceremony. So it's how you use it and what your intention is that I feel is more important in the end. I was very lucky, and I've been given a sort of blessing by both Gerzal and Serendava, two Humi singers, to teach the basics of Humi. So that's like saying, okay, you better do it. And it's great, because for me, it's a way of sharing a little bit about my journey, sharing about a culture, and also for people to connect with their voice. And it's like a really very easy way of singing. There's not much really you have to do to sing overtones in a very different, very normal voice. It's just listening more than anything else. And so people can get some form of result quite quickly. Then it's up to them to actually really work. But if I hear and see and hear that somebody has heard their own harmonic, it makes me really happy. Because it can, if they want to, start them on a whole road of listening to themselves. Our voice is connected to our breath, it's connected to our body. Sound that's non-verbal is connected to something really outside text, and which can bring people into another way of being, of listening, which is, you could say, altered state, but it's another way of being, and that's very precious, I think, in today's society.
Most of the other theories about the origin of Humi are connected with the sounds of nature or supernatural events. Birds are said to produce Humi-like sounds, especially the bittern, which makes a special sound when it's head in underwater. The wind whispers in high mountains, trees rustle in the wind, and sounds of water flowing between rocks are said to be Humi-like. Melody of Humi expresses diverse Mongolian ethnic groups and their nomadic lifestyles, religious beliefs such as shamanism, hunting, and beautiful places of Mongolia. Mongolian Humi throat singing is a wonderful art form that is imprinted in people's mind as perfect, accompanied with melodies of mudunghor or horse-headed fiddle, folk long song, and traditional Mongolian praises. Mongolian homie through singers and epic tellers, who are well-respected people in all social layers because of preserving folklores and traditional culture. The homie through singing sounds more beautiful when it is accompanied with Mongolian traditional musical instrument, Mudunghor or horse-headed fiddle. Today, homie through singing is found throughout the world countries, and Mongolia is often considered as the most active place of through singing in the world. Mongolian homie through singing developed in the land of Mongolia with its unique features and diversified in genres. In 2009, Mongolian homie through singing was inscribed in UNESCO's Intangible Cultural Heritage of Mankind. With this beautiful performance of homie through singing, we are ending this edition of The Voice of Mongolia in English. We've told you about Mongolia's national art of singing, the homie through singing. So thank you for listening, have a good day and goodbye. That's the end of the program, which comes to you from Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. The Voice of Mongolia provides half-hour transmission to Southeast Asia at 900 UTC on 12085 kHz and in Europe at 1430 UTC on 12015 kHz shortwave. You can also download the phone application MNB Radio and listen to all the programs of Voice of Mongolia. Your emails and letters are most welcome with your feedbacks and detailed reception report. Please either email them to vom_en@yahoo.com or send them to the English section, The Voice of Mongolia, CPO Box 365, Ulaanbaatar 13, Mongolia. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.